Listen in to the Community Connection Show with Alan Collier every Wednesday from midday to 2pm, where local community groups let you know what's happening right here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
We have Cindy McLeish with us. She's been tied up in Parliament, but she's now with us. Welcome, Cindy.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you very much, and good afternoon. And yes, it's an exceptionally busy week for me this week in Parliament. Everything's happening.
Fair enough. Cindy, we'll get into it because I know you're short on time. You want to talk something about veterans in the Parliament.
That's right. Look, we've got the Australian National Veterans Art Museum, ANVAM, having an exhibition, a particular exhibition in the main hall in Queen's Hall in Parliament at the moment. And there's a number of enormous billboard size photographs of some of the artists who have been involved in this. And ANVAM, it's a veteran-led charity. And, you know, we're just hearing stories of a number of veterans who were saved. They felt, you know, when they've come back, it's been difficult. And they've got into art, and it's been a real saviour.
Cindy, are they out of one particular war, or you know, are there various age groups in these veterans?
Look, I only spoke to a couple of people, and they're male and female as well. But having a look at them, they were all different ages, and there was very clearly one guy and his wife who were, you know, Vietnam vets. You could tell that by just by his age and by his medals, but I didn't get a chance to talk to him. And there were some people who were considerably older as well, so probably the Koreans. And then there were some younger people. So, but I think, you know, regardless, if art, you know, that creativity, art can really be a great thing for you.
Cindy, is it open to the public?
The people can come in at the moment. Yeah, we're allowed to have tours and things through Parliament House.
Right.
So people can come in. But, you know, they do a lot of these types of exhibitions because they want to show MPs, hey, listen, this is one of the great programs that exists out there. Yep. And there's so many programs. And, you know, we don't get to see everything. You don't get to hear of everything that's out there. And, you know, I might talk about something from my electorate. And it'll be the first time somebody else, you know, hears about it. And I wasn't familiar with ANVAM, you know, the art museum. And
there are thousands of groups out there doing great things, aren't there? Every week, every day of the year.
Yeah, and they are. And this, you know, looks at supporting the mental, physical, and social well-being of current and ex-service members and their families, because sometimes the family members do it tough too.
Absolutely. Oh, that's terrific. So what was the organisation again, please, Cindy?
ANVAM, so the Australian National Veterans, so there's the AN, V-A-M, Veterans Art Museum, ANVAM. Yeah. And this exhibition is called Persona, but it's a national project, and it's through ANVAM, but there's a Melbourne photographer as well that's taken these, and they're blown up, as I said, on billboard size, and it's really striking when you go, and you look at it. But again, you know, it's the power of art for some of these people who have come back and are at a loss because you've been in the services for, you know, 5 years, 15 years, 25 years, done different tours, and you can be a bit lost and you can do it hard. And this helps you link in with others. And
that's terrific, isn't it?
Yeah, it is terrific. It was really good. And I had that, you know, we break for lunch at 1 o'clock, and I had that opening at one. And so I've just raced down that's here terrific. After that.
Now, you also want to talk about a community project with veterans, too.
Well, I do. And it's actually in Jamison. So it's at the other end of my electorate.
Yep.
But, you know, we've had some wonderful initiatives by our RSLs down here.
Yep.
You know, Warburton have a wonderful, the wall that there's been decorated with the poppies just near their RSL, and it was a fabulous project. And the Upper Yarra have really done in front of the pool there. They've done a great little trail and things like that with the trees. And Jamison's a tiny little community up at, you know, the other side of Mansfield.
Yep.
And they were establishing their Avenue of Honour. And looking to make it something really special. And so they've planted a whole lot of Japanese elms, which will be brilliant in the autumn. And they've had they put tree guards around them because they were conscious that, you know, hoons can go through and smash things, as they did at the Vietnam memorial in Seymour. You know, they planted a whole lot of trees and they just, you know, backed in and broke half of them. So they put these great tree guards around them. The local blacksmith did that, and then they put some rocks in front to stop, you know, the cars.
Yep.
And then they thought, we got these rocks. What are we going to do with these big boulders? You know, they were big. Yeah. And they thought, let's put a plaque on them. And it was so funny because in 2013, Ted Bailey was in Mansfield and he was talking about commemorating the, you know, the centenary of Anzacs. Yep. And he said to them, the trick is hooking kids in so that kids learn about this and kids tell people. So what they've done is every name on a plaque is written by a kid, probably under, you know, primary school kid. And so every plaque is in different handwriting. So, you know, they've got the brass plaques now, but the initial writing. And so some kids have joined up their letters and some kids have, you know. And the guy, Craig, who did it said, you know, if you think the handwriting's pretty lousy on some of them, it's because the kid's in grade one. You know? But, you know, so it goes in both directions. It's really quite a lot. They've remembered a lot of people and they didn't all die. But, you know, for the kids, they'll come back and they'll show their kids and they say, hey, I wrote, that's my handwriting on this plaque when I was in grade four.
And the story will live on, won't it, rather than...
And the story will live on.
Yeah.
And in fact, that was exactly Ted's point about you want the story to live on and how do you do it? And I thought, what a great way. And I saw Ted and I told him and he said, I'm going to talk about it. He said, that's exactly the point. And I thought, a fabulous initiative. And the principal at the primary school, she got the kids really involved in a whole lot of different elements to really make it alive to them. So that was only a week or so ago and the minister came up and it was just really, really special.
Oh, that's terrific. I've got with me Cindy McLeish and we talked about what's going on in the electorate. Cindy, that's terrible. Cindy, you want to talk about the open studios?
I do. Look, the Yarra Valley and the Upper Yarra is home to many, many great artists and they had the open studios in Healesville, Yarra Glen, that area last week. There's lots of artists in and around Healesville.
Yep.
But if you missed that, this week is a good chance to catch up because there's quite a number in the Upper Yarra. And we've got, you know, four or five different fabulous artists in Warburton and on the way as well. So, you know, you've got recycled metal and arts. You've got watercolours, photography, nest sculptures. Like nest sculptures is pretty cool. Painting and pottery, you know, they've got something for everybody. And so the open studio means you actually go down to the studios where the artists are working. And I've seen some fabulous ones over the years of what different people have made and really encourage people to get out and have a look at, you know, the different artists that are in the area.
Sorry, they'd all be free too, wouldn't they?
Yeah, that's right. You know, you might end up buying something.
Well, that's the way to go.
Which I've done in the past plenty of times. But, definitely, you know, they're really good. And you've got the gallery at the Water Wheel and different exhibitions that go in there. You know, there's a woman, I don't think she's open this time, Schlamit, who does wood sculpture.
Oh, yeah.
And she did this amazing one not that long ago. Probably a few months ago, and all the characters in Warburton. So she took photos of all of these characters in Warburton, people that have been there for a long time, all these different ages and in certain poses, and then she carved them out of wood and matched the photo. So if they were wearing a blue butcher's apron in the photo, she carved them and painted a blue butcher's, you know. People are really, really clever.
Gee, that's a real talent, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was fabulous. It was really fabulous, actually. That was Schlamit. I don't think she's open this weekend. It doesn't look like it. But, you know, there's so many different things with painting and ceramics, glass.
It's a good way to fill in
afterwards. And around.
Yeah.
You know, Wesburn, Hoddles, Junction. career, you know, so it'd be really great. Yeah. I encourage people to get out there and support our local artists.
That sounds a terrific way to go. And it's a cheap afternoon too, isn't it? While people
It is. And they're, you know, relatively kid-friendly as long as your kid doesn't tip up a table of paints. But I've been to some where they've had watercolours and they've let you have a little bit of a dabble and taught you how to look for different colours in things.
Oh, that'd be terrific. Cindy, I know.
Who knew there was purple in them trees?
I know that your time with us is fairly short. With COVID, and I know a number of organisations have struggled a bit getting back after COVID because people have, you know, oh, well, I'm not going out, and they've got a bit lazy or just decided staying home is easy. How's the sporting teams going with particularly with young people and older people getting teams out there?
Yeah, look, it's been really tough, and I think cricket got a full season finally, but I'm not sure. I haven't heard about how their participation numbers were, but I have been hearing from different footy clubs, you know, and when you've got country teams like, you know, we have in the Yarra Valley, it's really challenging. And once people get into the habit of doing something else and thinking, gee, I didn't mind sitting around at home watching footy on TV and mowing the lawn,
yep,
rather than going out, once people start making that change, it's much harder to get them out and about. And I know some organisations have said that number of clubs that are putting teams in, there's less clubs and the clubs are putting less teams in. Mm. You know, Yay were telling me that they've got a lot of people who've gone to the West, over to Western Australia to work, you know.
Sure.
And I think it was like six or so young people. And for years we've had to rely on people coming out of the city. But, you know, at the same time, clubs have to pay for those players often, and it's really, really tough.
Really hard. The other thing is, too, that I think a lot of people have, well, I'd say a lot, but, you know, have said, oh, well, you know, I got used to watching TV and I got used to doing this. It'd be different if it was one little short lockdown, 2 weeks, it wouldn't have made any difference. But when we've had so many over such a long time, very easy to fall into a trap like that, isn't it?
And well, it is. It is. Yeah. If you look at, I play hockey, and we didn't get in 2020, we didn't get a season at all.
Yep.
You know, we didn't play. And then 2021, the season started, and then we went back into another lockdown. So all of these competitions didn't end up with any premiers or final four or lucky. You know, and the AFL were really lucky to get their season up. And, you know, they went into state. It was difficult. They had to go away from family and friends because of all of the restrictions and things like that. You know, because Queensland could keep on doing things, but Victoria couldn't do anything. Right. So,
And I see, I think it's Carlton have got a bit of a problem, haven't they, at the moment? I think they've got about five players with COVID. Not that I'm sticking up for for Carlton, but I think I heard on the news the other night. So it might not be over with the AFL. There could be problems this year too with the AFL.
Well, I think a lot of people were hoping that all of their footy teams all got, everybody got COVID when it wasn't the bad strain and they had a bit of immunity. But, you know, the Western Australians, they're going to start getting it, you know, starting now.
Yep.
And they, you know, try to protect themselves from it, and maybe that wasn't the right thing to do.
Yeah. And let's face it, our numbers, I think, were well up today, weren't they? I think they were around 10,000 something today.
But I spoke to somebody who's a nurse at the COVID unit at one of the big hospitals, and she said that most of the people in there are in there for something else and they happen to have COVID at the same time. Like you're in there for a burst appendix.
Yep.
But you've also got COVID. There's only a handful who are actually really sick. So even though we report the numbers, there's 20 people in this hospital with COVID and 40 people in there, you know, some of them could have a broken leg. Some of them could be, you know, for all array of different matters. But she said primarily they're not there
because of COVID.
Yep. But they have it while they're in hospital.
That's probably skews the numbers, doesn't it?
It does. And at the same time, when people are in hospital, you know, and they've got COVID, you just don't want to get a big outbreak because you hit that person that's not there for a broken leg, that's there with a lung complaint, and they actually get really quite sick. So, you know, you do have to protect the people that are in hospital.
Cindy, I don't want to end in the vaccination argument, but I'm triple vaxxed, so That's our views. Did you happen to tell you, out of those that are in hospital, whether it's a bigger percentage of the unvaccinated compared to the vaccinated?
She didn't say that, however, that has been the information that has been consistently, you know, in the last while, that the people that have been the sickest and the majority wasn't like 95% though. You know, the majority I think was like 60% or something. I can't remember. Exactly, but
it's better for us to be vaxxed. But anyway, that's not my view. That's just the way I go. And the major thing, I'm only worried about myself, not what everybody else does.
keep ourselves healthy. A bit of personal responsibility.
Well, that's why. Now, just briefly, I know your time with us is coming to a close. Puffing Billy, you said there's some legislation coming up on Puffing Billy. What's going to happen with Puffing Billy?
Oh, Puffing Billy's going to keep running.
Good.
It's definitely going to keep on running, but it's currently called the Emerald Tourist Railway. The board is responsible for its day-to-day runnings. But unfortunately, quite a number of years ago, they had sex offenders that were there, and there was an ombudsman's report. There was a public apology in Parliament because some children had been abused by particular two or three different people. And when the ombudsman said, you've got to fix this, you've got to tighten this legislation, they had a look at the legislation and it was old and outdated, so they've actually kind of changed the whole lot. And so now the Emerald Tourist Railway Board are no longer, it will be in another month, it'll be the Puffing Billy Railway. And we all call it Puffing Billy. But it was really to tighten it, to make sure that there are better protections for the but to make sure there are better protections for the kids. And, this one volunteer was shocking, was disgraceful, absolutely extraordinary. But he was a great volunteer and he had all this knowledge. So, you know what, they kind of pushed the child abuse under the carpet.
Yeah, that seems to have happened in a couple of organisations.
That did. Yeah. And all of the people there are gone. Those people have well and truly left the board and the society, the volunteers. Those people that were involved have left, but still we've got to clean up the pieces.
But it will still be run as a board?
Run, but they're struggling with people at the minute. They're struggling. They're down volunteers as well.
Yeah, everyone is. Cindy, look, I think you've got to go. I know you've got time. Thank you for your time, and we look forward to seeing you the fourth Wednesday of April.
And Parliament's not sitting next time.
We'll be able to get you to come in and talk to us.
No worries. Bye.
Thanks, Cindy. Bye.